today. You know, it's an interesting thing to me. We've been talking about words and all kinds of things lately, and Mahmoud Ahmadinejad stood before the United Nations and said this country, United States, was going downhill. I got news for him. We Christians in this country are not going downhill. And he's going to look for a terrible mess when he attacks Israel, because God's going to step in and he's going to bury him in the hill, to tell you the truth. And so it is important what we say. We've been talking about strongholds. We've been talking about deliverance. And it's very simple. Even if we weren't in Iraq and if we weren't in Afghanistan, we Christians are in a battle. We have a battle every day. Every single one of us battles something in our life, if we were honest about it. There's something that sometimes tries to draw us into something that wouldn't be good for us. It's a work of the enemy. And so it's my job to tell you who the enemy is, how he works, and how to defeat him, because we have every ability in us to defeat him because we have Christ. The enemy is no match for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll tell you that right now. So I'm going to give you some scriptures real quick. Get your Bible out. We're going to run through these. If somebody tells you they don't think we're in a battle, you can show them these scriptures I'm going to give you right now. So write them down as we look them up very quickly. Ephesians 6:11. I'm just going to do this at the beginning so that you can write these things down. You have probably people in your own families that have been captured by the enemy. The spirit of unbelief is just running rampant in this country. And there's people that they do not want to go to church. They have no desire to do so because the enemy has captured them. They have opened the door to unbelief in their life. And so it's no match for the Lord, because that's why we pray. We can ask people to be drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ, be drawn to him. We stand against the spirit of unbelief in the name of Jesus. So, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11 says, "Put on the whole armor of God, you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." So there's the enemy right there. The devil and his demonic powers are the enemy. They do everything they can to destroy lost people, and they do everything they can to keep you and I as Christians from doing what God's called us to do. So we may be able to stand against the wiles, the trips, the traps, the darkness of the devil. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." And that's demonic powers right there. "Wherefore, taking you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand, stand therefore having your loins girded about with truth." That truth is Christ. The truth is the living word of God. "Having on the breastplate of righteousness," and that's receiving into your life everything that Jesus Christ did when he shed his blood on the cross of Calvary and rose from the dead. "And then your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace," and that's the willingness that God puts in us to share the gospel, the good news of the death, burial, and resurrection and coming again of Jesus. "Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." And that says you can defeat these darts of the wicked one by faith, by believing the word of God, by knowing the word of God and living the word of God is what that means. And it says, "And take the helmet of salvation," which is our identification with the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and he's coming again, "and the sword of the Spirit," which is the word of God. Now it says we have an enemy. That tells us how to defeat the enemy. Let's look quickly, 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11. And that says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us. He's talking to Christians here, not talking to lost people. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. And we're not going to be when I get through with this. All right? Look in 2 Corinthians 10:4. Well, we look in 3. 2 Corinthians 10:3. For we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, strongholds are thought patterns in your mind, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. This is how you defeat the devil. You take every thought you have in your mind and bring it to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Don't believe a bunch of nonsense that comes to your mind. Don't think about that stuff. Don't take in things that are going to destroy your mind, and so on. Okay, look at Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8. Now, you can read these again later, go over these, meditate on them, see what God's telling you. But Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you with the... So you can be spoiled, it says here. And spoiled doesn't mean... This has nothing to do with salvation. This is talking about works. It was by spoiling you means that you're not able to accomplish what God called you to do in your life, because he's called every one of us to do something. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of this world, and not after Christ. And we could go into all these and spend a whole session on it, but we're not going to. So I want to talk about the enemy now. I want to talk about first demonic powers, and then later I'll talk about strongholds in the mind. They're not the same necessarily. How do we get these things? How do these things come into our life? Look what's happening on Wall Street. People have greed. That's a spirit of greed. That's a spirit of the enemy. It did not come from God, obviously. It came from the enemy. And so we have that. And all of these problems started actually with Congress several years ago from people who also were greedy, and so they passed laws that would benefit the greedy ones on Wall Street, who would then in turn give them political contributions. Isn't that interesting? Well, how did all that come about? Did man dream that up? No. It was dreamed up by the enemy. And people without God have been overcome with these things, and that's why we're in trouble. You take God out of something, what's going to come in? Darkness. Are you listening to me? I don't care if it's in Congress or it's in the president's office or wherever it is, in the schools, wherever it's at. If you take God out, something's going to come in that's not like God. Are you listening to me? And that's exactly what has happened. But it's not all over. Christ hasn't had the last word. And I have news, we're not going to be defeated in the name of Jesus Christ. So it's not all lost, it's not all down the tube by any stretch of the imagination, but Christians have to stand up and start realizing that we're in a warfare instead of just sitting around like, oh, there's no, you know, we don't have an enemy to fight. All we got to do is negotiate with them, and they're so nice, they'll just, I'm sure they'll be nice to us. Can you imagine that kind of stuff? What they want to do is cut your heads off and your hands and anything else they can do. Are you listening to me? It's nothing new. You see it in the Bible all the time. Well, God, through a little guy called David, said, there's going to be a head come off all right, but it's not going to be God's people. Are you listening to me? it's going to be a demonized giant called Goliath. He's going to lose his head. And he builds himself up as a big giant, but to God, he's nothing. Are you listening? But God has allowed Satan because it's through the struggles that we have in life and through the warfare with the enemy, we grow in the Lord and become strong. So that's just why God hasn't removed Satan from the world. He could do it just like that, but he's not going to until the time that Jesus comes and personally sees to it that Satan and his demons are removed, and they will be. But at the present time, we have these battles, and I have news. This is a battle. You have to take sides. Amen. You know, nobody wants to take sides. Well, you have to take sides in this battle. You're either in the side of darkness or you're in the side of the light. You're either in the side of Jesus or you're in the side of darkness. You have to take sides in this battle. And you have to learn the things of God to defeat the enemy. Now, how do we open the door to demonic powers? We have to open the door. They can't do anything they want to. Satan can't do anything he wants to. All he can do is talk until you or I open the door. Now, individuals can open doors, churches can open doors, and all these kind of things can happen. The answer is very simply, sin. That little word will open the consistent lifestyle of sin, will open the door to the enemy, and he will then have the right to come in and capture your mind, capture your body, and capture your life. That's how it works. It's not complicated. God makes it very clear. In other words, they have found out from studying these things that there's a certain way that a spirit of bitterness comes in. And they have found out what the door is. It's very interesting. Now, this can happen to lost people. This can happen to Christians. Satan cannot take your salvation, but he can sure mess up your life if you and I open the door. We know people that have opened the door. Some are lost, some are saved. And this is how the spirit of bitterness gets in. You go to sleep while you're angry, and then you meditate on what caused the anger. And if you do that over a period of time, you've opened the door to a spirit of bitterness. It's very clear. You know, God warns us about every one of these things. He says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Why does he say that? Because if you go to sleep with that wrath in your life and you're meditating on it, you will open the door to a spirit of bitterness and you will rot from the inside out. Are you listening to me? It's a serious matter. It's not Christianity is a serious matter. Knowing, choosing up, whether you're choosing for the devil or choosing for God, is a serious matter in your everyday life. God gave us the Ten Commandments. Why did he give those? He said, because if you violate these on a consistent basis, you're going to have the enemy come in your life and take over. And then when you're about to die and somebody asks you, do you want to receive Jesus? You can't do it because you've crossed the line and allowed the enemy to come in. So don't ever get this thought in your mind. It comes from the devil. It says, well, when I get through doing this, maybe next year I'll receive Jesus. I don't think so. You see. And so this is a serious thing. Your life is at stake. Your family's life is at stake. Your children are at stake. This is an important thing. When God says don't do something, he doesn't do it to restrain you. He does it because he knows it opens the door to the devil and his workers, and they can wreak havoc in your life. That's the issue. Now, let's look quickly in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26. All right. Now, here it is. Now, look at this. God just puts this in there. We read through this stuff, and we don't even think about it. and it's serious business. God is showing us in His Word how to defeat the devil. It says, be angry and sin not. In other words, anger is not necessarily a sin if you deal with it properly. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. And you say, well, that sounds nice, but look at the next verse. Neither give place to the devil. In other words, what that says is, if you let the sin go down in your wrath and you don't deal with it, before you go to sleep at night, you can, if you do this night after night after night, I'm not saying the first time will do it, maybe not even the second night, I don't know how many it takes, but if you do this on a consistent basis, the very next verse says, you're going to open the door to the devil. I don't care if you're a Christian or what you are. The Ten Commandments say, thou shalt not kill. You kill somebody, you murder somebody, premeditated, you have opened the door to the devil. You ever wonder why somebody becomes a serial killer? Because they kill somebody the first time, premeditated, and then a spirit of death and murder come in, and they keep on killing. They can't stop because the demonic power has taken over their life. They opened the door. God didn't do it. Don't blame it on God. They opened the door. It says, do not commit adultery, because if you will have sin outside, if you have sexual relationships outside of marriage, I'm not saying the first time will do it, maybe not even the second. I don't know where it starts, but somewhere you're going to open the door to a demonic power. Are you listening to me? That's why God said, don't have sex outside of marriage. It's not complicated. He said, don't do it. The bridge is out. Don't commit this. The devil will come in. You see. And so this stuff is not to be taken lightly. You can't compromise with the devil. Because he'll take advantage every time. And somebody's going to come down to the end, and you know, there's going to be mad. It isn't madder than hell, it's going to be mad in hell. You see. Aren't you glad you came today? Okay. Let's look we've already looked at that. We looked at 2 Corinthians 10:5. We won't do that. But it's not a sin to get angry necessarily, but deal with it quickly. Everybody gets mad at one time or another. Let's not lie about it. How many's ever got mad? Okay, that's just about everybody. Yeah, but the thing is, deal with it quickly. Now, you may have to go in the closet and just scream at the walls and the clothes and everything for 10 minutes and then come back out and get it straight, get it fixed. You understand what I'm saying? Everybody understands that. Go out in the garage and beat on the car or something and then come back in and deal with it. Said, you know, it's probably part of this is my fault. Let's talk about it. Please forgive me. And let's move on here with this thing. You understand? You don't mess around. I did the stupidest stuff. I've told this before. Before I was a Christian, I'd get mad at my wife, be mad for 2 weeks, wouldn't speak to her for 2 weeks. I said, well, I'm German. What are you going to do? You know, I blame it on something. But it was my fault. It was stupid. And it allowed all kinds of problems to come into the marriage. And I opened the door. I just threw it open and say, come on in, demon. You see, is exactly what I did. And I learned after I got saved that wasn't a wise thing to do for a lot of reasons. If you continually think thoughts that are opposite the Word of God, you will open the door to the enemy. You see. If you continually do that. And it'll bring bad fruit in your life. Opens the door. Demonic activity. People hooked on pornography. Probably viewed that a few times. And pretty soon it took over. When it took over, that's when you opened the door. Whether it was on the computer or whether it was not on some magazine or whatever it was, or watching TV. Unfortunately now, if you have satellite or cable, you can get shows that have nudity on them. That's just the way it is today, unfortunately. But we don't have to watch it. We don't have to open the door. We don't have to get involved in that stuff. Most people do it secretly, but pretty soon that's going to be a door open and something's going to come out in your life that's going to cause all kinds of problems. I'll guarantee you, because God's plan was that sexual intercourse would be in marriage and it would be a beautiful thing, and Satan always has a plan to mess up something beautiful of God, but he can't mess it up unless we open the door. Do I hear an amen? Amen. All right. Now, once or twice may not do it. I can't tell you how many times, but I'm going to tell you this, you'll know when it's open because it takes over. Demons can't do anything they want to. They must obey the laws of the kingdom. Unless you open the door, they can't come in. So somebody says, oh, you know, I want to read the Bible just full of these dumb laws, just restricts my life. No, it's trying to save your life. You see, that's what God's doing. So, then somebody will get sick or some physical problem will come. I'm not saying all the physical problems come from this, but all of a sudden you realize all of a sudden you got some serious physical illness. And you say, how in the world did that come in my life? Well, sometimes it's because we opened the door. Sometimes. The most common doors are these. Greed, idolatry, rebellion, sexual immorality, lying, hatred, and of course, the occult and witchcraft. Fortune tellers, that kind of thing. If you were ever involved in any of that stuff, you need to confess that to the Lord and forsake it for sure. Traumatic events sometimes cause problems. Rape, sexual abuse, even a car crash or almost drowning can cause a spirit of fear to come in. And if you entertain that in your life, it can take over. Sometimes there are generational curses where somebody in your family line opened the door to demonic things. In fact, I have found out just about everybody's family line has some kind of a demonic problem in it. Now, it won't come upon you unless you open the door to that problem. And I always use the thing, if you had alcoholics back in your family, if you don't drink or get involved in drugs, it's all in the same family, you understand, or prescription drugs, it's really a spirit of addiction. That can come through your family line, but if you don't open the door, it's not going to affect you. But if you open the door, it'll affect you, it'll affect your kids, it'll affect your families, it'll affect everybody around you, because you can't have demonic influence in your life without affecting everybody around you. It's an impossibility. You can also pick up these things through magazines, television, movies, books. Depending on what they are, if they're contrary to God, you'll open the door to demonic powers. As you know, Grace and I like to go to garage sales. I talk about a lot of people have tons of books, and you can look at that whole big pile of books and tell you almost what that person's life is like. You know what's interesting? Because you take on what you take in to your mind and your bodies. So it makes a difference what you read. It makes a difference what you think. It makes a difference what you do. I'm not picking on anybody here. I'm trying to tell you there's only one answer to this problem. His name's Jesus. There's only one. If there was another one, I would tell you. There's only one. These things have to be dealt with. Look in James 1:27. James 1:27. Underline these things. Make a note. Look them up later and meditate on them. James 1:27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. In other words, we are to go out and help fatherless, the widows, and people that have been taken over by the enemy. It's our responsibility to pray for them, to introduce them to Jesus Christ. It's up to them whether they accept or not. You can't make somebody do that. But it's up to us to do that. And also, at the same time we're helping others, don't let the enemy come into your life through the world, the flesh, or the devil. That's what that says, basically. All right. So it does make a difference how you live. It does make a difference how you speak. It does make a difference what you do. And it's not just because God put a bunch of rules in this book. It's because certain things open the door to the enemy. Certain things open the door to the Lord Jesus Christ. So you have to choose sides. Very definitely. First Timothy 4:1. This is quite interesting. 1 Timothy 4:1. This is a prophecy. 1 Timothy 4:1. Now this is what it says. The Holy Spirit is speaking in the last days. And that's where we're living now, the last days. Or the latter times, it says here. But that's what it means. The Holy Spirit speaking expressly that in the latter times, the time we're living in now, some shall depart from the faith. Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. Your Bible might say devils. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God has created to be received with thanksgiving by them who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good and nothing is to be refused, and so on. But here's the issue. The Holy Spirit saying, in the day we live in now, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. And that says, even Christians in the last days, some will open the door to demons. That's what that says. I didn't say they're going to hell. I just said they're opening the door to demons and to everything that the enemy can do in their life. You know what he does? He desensitizes us a little bit at a time. You'll watch a program on TV and they'll start cursing and cussing, and it kind of bothers you at the beginning, but you keep on watching, and you watch it next week, and then you watch it next week, and then pretty soon somebody's sleeping. Johnny's sleeping with Sam, and all that stuff. And you just kind of say, well, you know, that's the way TV is today. And so you just kind of take that in, and pretty soon there's some little nudity here, and you say, oh, my God, that's not good. But you keep watching it, and pretty soon there's a whole lot more, and pretty soon you are hooked. You have opened the door to the enemy. Or reading it in a book, or talking to your friends, or whatever the thing is. I'm telling you, the bridge is out. Don't take that road. You see. And They do exist. I talked to you before. I'm not sure. There's two theories on where they came from. One said fallen angels. One said it's the spirit of those angelic men beings and angelic women beings back in Genesis. And any of them can be true, but it doesn't make any difference. They're bad news wherever they came from. And we need to be aware of them. We are not to live in fear because of them. We don't want to be demon conscious, thinking there's a demon behind every tree. You don't have to worry about demons if you're doing the right thing. You don't have to worry about them if you're doing godly thing. It's not a problem. None whatsoever. We have full authority over them without exception if we're doing the right thing. We can tell them to go take a hike in the name of Jesus. Luke 10:19. I'm giving you a whole big long course here that should take days on this, and I'm trying not to, but it is so important. Luke 10:19. This is what God says. This is from Jesus' mouth to you. Well, look at 18. Luke 10:18. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, don't rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Don't spend all your time chasing demons. That's what that says. Some churches do that, and they limit what they can do because messing around with these things is not a pleasant thing. But anyway, we can get rid of them. How do you do it? You repent, you change what you're doing, you close that door by not doing it any longer. You confess it to the Lord and to maybe somebody else that you can trust, and then you rebuke them and tell them to go. It's just that simple. It's not complicated. This is how you get rid of them. Confess your sin, stop doing that sin, and then slam that door in their face. But there's one other thing. Fill your life with the things of God. And I'm going to tell you why in just a minute. It's a dangerous thing to get rid of them and not fill yourself with the things of God, which I'll explain in a minute. Now, God doesn't look at us the same way we do. We have a tendency to look very negative at ourselves. God looks at what we've overcome in this world. There are some people that lived a Christian life with kind of a silver spoon in their mouth. They're in a nice church, and they got great praise and worship, and they have all the youth activities, and they have all these other things, and they got a good job, and their life is just pretty easy, in fact. And at good old age, they die, and they go to heaven. But what about the person that never had those opportunities and have gone through terrible things in their life and been rejected and been abused and been all of these things, and then at the end they die and they go to heaven, but they've overcome these things. Guess who's God going to bless the most when they are in heaven, when the rewards are handed out? Those that have been through the most and overcome. Are you listening to me? So if you've been through you've been drugged through the mud and through everything imaginable, and you're a Christian and you've hung in there and you've tried your best to bless somebody else and you've tried to do right and you've stayed away from demonic things and you've become an overcomer, God's going to say to you, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Are you listening to me? There's no such thing as a lower class Christian. In fact, the ones we think are lower class sometimes are going to be rewarded the most because of what they have overcome in their life. So don't give up whatever you've been through, because God doesn't look at it at the same way as we do. We're in a fallen world. We go through things we didn't count on, we didn't cause, and we go through these things. Man really, after the fall of Adam and Eve, God said, be an overcomer. You're going to go through things, but be an overcomer. You're going to be drugged through things that aren't pleasant, but be an overcomer. You see. He said something very interesting to Cain. Cain killed his brother, if you remember. And you'd think, boy, God's going to come down on him and wipe him out. You know what? God said something very interesting to him. Let's look at it. It's in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 7. And, this is in the very beginning of the Bible. So the seedbed of everything in the Bible is right here in Genesis. You say, should we study Genesis? Absolutely. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 7. Well, actually, he hadn't killed him yet, but God knew he was going to. So let's look in Genesis 4, and we'll go about verse 4. Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering. But unto Cain and his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. And the Lord went to him. He basically said, do you have a right to be angry? You didn't give the offering you were supposed to. You knew exactly what you were supposed to give, and you made up your own offering and gave it. And I didn't accept it. You have a right to be angry? That's basically, people are doing that all the time. They do their own thing. It doesn't work, and they get mad at God. They do it their own way. They ignore the things of God. They ignore the Bible, ignore church, ignore everything, and their life's messed up, and they blame God. And God's going to say, have you got a right to be angry? Let me tell you how this works. He said, Cain, why are you angry? Has your countenance fallen? Look in verse 7. If you do well, won't you be accepted? The answer is yes. And if you do not well, sin's at the door. And unto you shall be his desire. But if you don't open that door, you're going to rule over him. He said, sin is lying at that door, just ready to pounce on you if you open that door. That's exactly what he said. If you got a right to be angry, what's the problem? Give the right offering. Do what I asked you to do, because it's going to be better for you. And if you don't do it, sin's lying at the door, and he's going to take you over if you open that door. And you're not going to have a right to be angry, because you're the one that opened the door, Cain. Isn't that interesting? Look in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 7. I would spend a lot more time in these things, but we're just kind of doing an overview right now. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 7. You know, it's going to be an interesting thing when people die and stand before Jesus. How many of you think are going to blame God? They're not going to say one word to God, because they're going to know that they opened the door. Revelation 2 and verse 7. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. To him or her that overcomes, I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. You want to know how to get to heaven, to get into the paradise of God, how to spend eternity with Jesus Christ? Is very simply overcome in this life the works of the devil, and come to Christ, choose sides, make up your mind, because there is definitely a heaven and there's definitely a hell. I talked to a preacher one day, and he said, I don't think there's a hell. I said, really? Yeah, he said, there's a heaven there, but I don't think there's a hell. And he said, even if there is, he said, only people like Hitler are going there. I tried to be nice. I wondered what Bible he was reading. And he was teaching people in the church. Well, I'm not perfect either, but if you get in the Word of God, you got to get in and find out what the truth is. Go to Revelation 2 and verse 11. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. He that overcomes shall not be hurt of the second death. In other words, he's not going to die the second death, which is the death into eternal hellfire forever. And I'm not really mad. If I'm upset at anybody, I'm upset with the devil. I'm not upset with people. I have the greatest compassion for people that have opened the door to the devil, and I would try to help them if they'd let me. But you have to let somebody help you. If you have no clue as what I'm talking about today, if you don't understand anything I'm saying, I can almost tell you, you've already opened the door. But it's not too late. It's not too late. It's not too late. God is a God of second chances, third chances. But there's a point where he says, that's it. That's it. It's over. You've opened it too many times. It's done. The Lord's looking for us to overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. He really is. He wants us to overcome. Not ignore the devil. Overcome him in doing the good things of life in Jesus Christ. Jesus overcame the world. We're to follow his example. Who is the one that overcomes the world? Only he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God. That's the ones that overcome the world. It says so in 1 John 5:5. Who overcomes the world? Only he, meaning and she, who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. If he's the Son of God, then we should be paying attention to him, because he has inherited all things. And if we ignore him, we lose an inheritance in heaven, and there's only one other place left. It's a matter of doing it in love. I have a prayer here that you can pray. I'm going to read through it first. We're almost done today, but I'm not done. You know, if I'm mad at anybody, it's probably me. I opened the door to the devil too many times before I was saved. It was terrible. I had no clue. No clue whatsoever. I did some of the dumbest stuff. It was so bad that when I did get saved and surrendered to the ministry, and somebody back in my hometown heard it, they almost couldn't quit laughing. They couldn't believe it. But I find that God sometimes takes the biggest messes and saves them so that everybody knows that God does miracles today. And I'm here to tell you I'm a miracle, because if you'd had a vote of my middle school and high school teachers as to whether I'd go to heaven or hell, it would have probably been about 20 to 1 going to hell. And I'm not bragging. I'm not bragging. But I'll tell you, Jesus never gave up on me. Never gave up. And fortunately for me, I hadn't crossed the line. But the day I got saved, I believe that was my last chance. I really do. My last chance. I was 33 years old. And I really believe on that Sunday night in February, in 1970, if I hadn't come to Christ, I would have never come the rest of my life. I think that was it. I don't want anybody else to end up in that state. That's one of the reasons I do what I do. I don't want anybody else to end up in that state. Here's the prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I have judged men by what they have achieved, and I have condemned others by their lack of achievement. This is sin. I repent and will treat all men equally according to your word. That means women also. Forgive me of this sin, separate it from me, and place it on the cross of Jesus Christ. I will honor all of my brothers and sisters in Christ in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for your forgiveness. Amen. You know, there is some truth to this statement. You should never judge anybody until you walked in their shoes. Are you listening to me? Should never judge anybody until you've walked in their shoes. There is some truth to that. I don't know if you find that in the Word of God, but probably pretty close. If you want to pray this, pray it now. Speak it out loud. Dear Heavenly Father, I have judged men by what they have achieved, and I have condemned others by their lack of achievement. This is sin. I repent and confess this sin. And I will treat all men and women equally according to the Word of God. Forgive me of this sin. Separate it from me and place it on the cross of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I will honor all my brothers and sisters in Christ, in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for your forgiveness. Amen. Well, I think we'll stop there today. I gave you